There is a verse from the book of Proverbs, one of the wisdom books of the Old Testament, that goes like this. The crucible is for silver and the furnace is for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. Now, a crucible in the ancient world was usually a ceramic vessel that would allow you to put a precious metal into it and heat it to a very, very high temperature so that the gold, the silver, would be refined. And the writer of Proverbs makes a connection that just as the crucible is needed for the refining of silver and gold, these precious metals, so too, says the writer, God tests the heart. As we'll think about this evening, the crucible that each person has to go through or go into is the crucible of suffering. And as we'll consider in this evening's gospel reading, we really do not want to get into that crucible. The story is told of the comedian Yakov Smirnov, immigrated from Russia to the United States. And upon entering America, he went to one of those really big American supermarkets. He'd never been in one before. And he was amazed at what he saw. Incredible variety of foodstuffs. And he said, on my first shopping trip, there I found powdered milk. You just add water and presto, you have milk. I saw powdered orange juice. You just add water and presto, you have orange juice. And then I saw baby powder, and I said, what an amazing country. Now, of course, Smirnov was joking. He's a comedian. But you know, I think in some ways, this is how we want it to be in the Christian life. Just to add some Jesus powder. And there it is. Indeed, it seemed to be that this was part of what Peter was struggling with in today's gospel reading. After all, he was now following Jesus. He had come to see that Jesus truly is the Christ, the Messiah. Surely, all we need to do is add water, Jesus, because it's your water and you can do miracles, and wow, everything's going to be great. Now, here's the thing I want to see with you this evening. Jesus commends Peter for being a believer. Peter believes that Jesus is the Christ. He sees Jesus for who he truly is. But now Jesus wants to take Peter deeper. Jesus says to Peter, I don't want you just to be a believer in me. I want you to be a disciple. And indeed, at the end of the passage, he speaks about it in no uncertain terms when our Lord says these words, whoever wants to become my follower, let him deny himself. So here's the thing. There are many people who are believers, and that's wonderful. To believe in Jesus, to know that he is the Christ, that he is the Son of God, fantastic. But what we are always called to is this deeper relationship where we're to go into the crucible of suffering. Jesus understood this so clearly. Jesus understood that he was indeed the fulfillment of that first reading from Isaiah, where we hear these words, I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. And then in that psalm we prayed, this is Psalm 116. It's called one of the Passover Psalms. So this psalm would have been the psalm that Jesus prayed with the apostles along with some other ones when he instituted the Eucharist. So within an hour, he would be fulfilling this psalm. Listen again to these words. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, save my life. The thing that Jesus wanted Peter to understand is what the writer to the Proverbs so clearly understood. The crucible is for silver and the furnace is for gold. But the Lord tests the heart. And here's the thing. How are we going to live our lives in relation to suffering? What does Peter do? He rebukes Jesus. And actually says, God forbid it, Lord. What about us? What about me? When dealing with the reality of suffering, how easy it is for us to rebuke God and to say it shouldn't be like this. The world shouldn't have this kind of suffering. Somehow it should be different, Jesus. And yet the striking thing is that if that's the point of view we have, Jesus says to us, get behind me, Satan. Why does he say that? Because Satan is the one who wants us to somehow live the delusion that this world should be one where there isn't suffering. It's just not the nature of reality. The nature of reality is that every single person in this room suffers. But the question is, do we allow our suffering to help us to become disciples? Or does our suffering embitter us and turn us away from Jesus Christ? That's the question at play this evening. The great wisdom tradition of which Isaiah, the Psalm, and this evening's gospel articulate is one that we need to think through more deeply. The saints of the church always understood that grief and suffering are not something from which we are to run. But why do we do it? Because suffering is so disorientating. It leaves us just feeling like, I don't know where I am. I don't know what kind of space I am in. But the striking thing about the biblical witness is that when we allow suffering to be the means by which we grow in discipleship, it actually becomes transformative. And so we learn to live with pain. We learn to live with grief, suffering, loss, because it has something to teach us. But unfortunately, sadness is an emotion that we try to repress, to deny, or avoid. And so often we would rather be angry than sad. Like Peter, we want to rebuke those who say that suffering cannot be avoided. And if we're not going to avoid suffering, we therefore have to embrace it. One priest who I was reading this last week, in reflecting on suffering, he put it this way. Perhaps the simplest and most inclusive definition of grief and suffering is unfinished hurt. Suffering feels like a demon spinning around inside of us because it hurts too much, and we immediately want someone else to blame. We must learn to remain open to our grief, to wait in patient expectation for what it has to teach us. And when we allow ourselves to be consumed by our grief in an unhealthy way, we will try to perhaps run from it and deny ourselves the lessons that it wants to teach us. Back in the 4th century, there was one of the saints of the church. His name was Saint Ephrem. He's a doctor of the church as well, which means he's one of the people considered of great erudition and learning, and so we want to be able to take his teaching to heart. And listen to what he says about suffering and grief. Give God weeping and increase the tears in your eyes. Through your tears and God's goodness, the soul which has been dead will be restored. What a different kind of human being this is than most of us. It's said of Saints Clare and Francis that they sometimes wept for days at a time. Now, the weeping mode is so different from the way we often are in the world. I know that for me, I much prefer the fixing mode, the explaining mode, or the controlling mode. But there's some things in life that we just can't fix. There's some things in life that we just can't explain. And there are some things in life that we just cannot control. And so what do we do with this? Well, Jesus would say to us, to be a disciple is to feel the tragedy of things, to feel the sadness of things. Again, referring to this priest whose writing I was studying this past week, he wrote the following. Tears cleanse the lens of the eyes so that we can begin to see more clearly. Sometimes we have to cry for a very long time because our eyes are so dirty and we're not seeing truthfully and we're not seeing well at all. Tears only come when we realize we can't fix it and we can't change it. The situation is absurd, it's unjust, it's wrong, it's impossible. Why are we still having to deal with COVID? Why did she die? Why was he in that life-changing accident? Only when we're led to the edges of our own resources are we finally free to move from the weeping into the weeping mode and then move through the weeping mode. Now think about this just for another minute. What did St. Peter want to do? He always wanted to fix. He always wanted to explain. He always wanted to control. But what happened to Peter on Holy Thursday? We're told that at that fire, after he had denied Jesus three times, that Jesus looked him in the eyes. And then the gospel writer said, and Peter wept, and he wept, and he wept. At the time of his greatest failure, at that point of intersection where he was dealing with his greatest suffering, Peter began to move from being a believer only into now being a disciple. This is a very hard lesson for us to learn. Because we live in a society where there are so many things that we can sort of fix. So many ways in which we can be in control. But we're part of this wisdom literature. We're part of this much greater story that helps us to understand that when we relinquish control, when we allow for our suffering to be joined to the suffering of Jesus, that we also share in his resurrection. And do you know that twice in the book of Revelation we have this promise in chapter 7 and in chapter 20? It says the following, and God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Isn't that beautiful? But do you understand what that means? God wants to accompany us through those tears, through that suffering. And so here's the irony and the paradox of our faith. In the eyes of the world, the disciple often seems, well, like a wimp. But in the eyes of God, the disciple is someone like Peter, who when he was in his 20s, he said, "Get behind me, Lord. I don't want your way. I'm rebuking you." But many, many years later, after he had cried much, and spent years following Jesus, the Messiah. Listen to what the mature Peter wrote in his first letter. Now for a little while you've had to suffer various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. No doubt our first pope had Proverbs 17:3 in mind when he wrote these words. You're going through various trials right now. So am I. So are we all. And what we allow for that fire to bring us more into that place of Jesus saying to him, I will follow you because I desire to have this fire, this trial, to deepen my discipleship. Because I don't want to just be a believer. I want to be a follower of the one who went to the cross. I want to follow in the tradition that understands the profound truth of these words. The crucible is for silver, the furnace is for gold, but the Lord tests the heart.